protesting you before these episodes, because half your comments are just PED violations. The other half are substance abuse violations.
Understand why you can't make it make sense, because you're you. I completely understand why you can't make it make sense.
The whole time that all you were doing, unbeknownst to yourself, was making my case. Right?
They didn't see, fire him. That... He left. What are you talking about? You're not even making any sense, bro. All right, all right, all right. You are now rocking with the best, and thank you so much for tuning in to another great episode of Catch This Fade. I'm, of course, your host, KD Drummond, along with my partner, Mr. Patrick Walker. Say what's happening to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. KD, how goes it, brother?
Man, it's another day in paradise. I think that we want to talk about the coaching profession today.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. We all know that Jason Garrett has been on a bit of a roller coaster since he took over for Wade Phillips. I myself personally have been on that roller coaster with him. I wanted him fired after 2013, and then 2014 happened. I was like, I'm really freaking glad they didn't fire this guy. And he kind of made me believe, based on what he did in 2014 and 2016, his record was phenomenal when he had his preferred starting quarterback in there. But a lot of the stuff that people don't like about him seemed to take over when things hit the fan last season, and it soured a lot of people on him again, to the point that some people feel he's back on the hot seat going into 2018.
I believe he is on the hot seat. I would temper that a bit, simply saying, because he's what, one season removed from being NFL head coach of the year.
Exactly.
He was, you know, on the hot seat, 1 year prior after 2015, just went to hell in a handbasket. So I think there's, more leeway that currently exists within the organization for Jason Garrett than many fans would like to admit. However, that being said, we're not going to sit here and pretend that we're oblivious to the fact that if the Cowboys lay an egg for whatever reason, i.e. don't make the playoffs, or, you know, just basically stink up the joint in 2018, you're not going to have any more excuses. The scapegoats are gone. The assistant coaching staff, that cupboard has been cleaned and replaced with new staff, even though they're making a huge experiment on Kellen Moore. But hey, that's their call to make, Linehan and Garrett. And then, of course, you have the jettison of Dez Bryant. Jason Witten is gone. Some people saw him as a progress stopper, although he was still playing at a strong level going into his 16th season. So, I mean, the scapegoats are gone. So I don't think that the seat is white hot, but it will rapidly approach solar flare status if you see the Cowboys going south in a season that should be a bounce back year, especially with Ezekiel Elliott on the field.
Yeah, I think the way that I am approaching this season is that, yes, he is on the hot seat. If they don't make the playoffs, he will be gone, barring catastrophic injury. And when I say catastrophic, I mean like losing Dak Prescott early in the season, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. And then you look at the moves that they made, and we, you know, I just mentioned Bryant's gone, Witten's gone, which was a move he made, not necessarily they made. But you look at them shipping off Ryan Switzer to get Tavon Austin because they want a more electric, more dynamic offense. You look at them making the trade for Jahan Ward. I mean, these are all things, you know, getting Allen Hurns and bringing in Coney Ealy. Hopefully that'll be 2018 will be a big year for him. He's looking to piece some things together and finally find a home in the NFL long term or for the remainder of his career. So, I mean, if you look at the totality of moves that were made, at the end of the day, is he on the hot seat? Yes. Is it white hot? Not quite yet. But I agree with you in that there would have to be catastrophic injury. I would add an asterisk to that if the injury is at QB, because they love Cooper Rush. And as we both know, they really, really like Mike White. So,
yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. But to me, both of those players come with a built-in excuse. I mean, you can love all those guys all you want to, but you're still going to say, well, that was an undrafted free agent that, you know, you only catch lightning in a bottle once with Tony Romo, or that was a fifth-round draft pick and he just wasn't ready in his rookie season. I can see built-in excuses, you know, even though I know how much they do love both of those guys as prospects. But for now, let's go ahead and work on the assumption that, hey, Jason Garrett could get fired. It could happen. Who would we want to see step in his place? So we're going to do another dueling top five, KD versus Patrick. And, of course, follow us on Twitter. Let us know who you think won, me, at KD Drummond.
The win.
At KD Drummond NFL. And then this guy is like at Star Voice or whatever the case may be. What's your Twitter handle?
Trying. At Voice of the Star.
Yeah, that's
the
it.
Name says it all, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it. He thinks he is. All right, so let's go. Last week when I completely dominated the Marvel Avengers comparisons,
we gotta start drug testing you before these episodes, because half your comments are just PED violations. The other half are substance abuse violations. I'm starting to think like you're David Irving's burner account in real life. But go ahead.
Considering that those are the things that the NFL cares mostly about and not domestic violence and sexual abuse.
Ooh.
Yeah, so... shout out to Jameis Winston's defense attorneys, true. Because what the hell is that about NFL?
Again, another topic. That's for another conversation.
Yeah, another
apparently
show, you know?
Stealing crab legs from Publix matters more character-wise than groping your Uber driver. Right. But anyway.
Clown. All right, Jason so Garrett. I'm gonna lead off with my number five candidate to replace Jason Garrett if he does get fired at the end of the season. This is not a prediction. This is not a wish. This is just a what if.
It's so, a pontification.
There you go. So save all the drama for your mama. Number five, Matt LaFleur.
Mm.
Now, Matt LaFleur has been coaching for 13 years. He's only 38 years old. And one of the things that I like in a coach, or that I prefer in a coach for the most part, is a younger guy that can bring new ideas to the situation. Now, I don't much care whether it's offense or defense, but Matt LaFleur's offense, to me, could be something that was so dynamic based on what the Cowboys have assembled with the running quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott, and so on and so forth. Now, people might not know the name, but he was the quarterback coach that turned Matt Ryan into an MVP in Atlanta. I know everybody gives Kyle Shanahan the credit for that, but that was his quarterback coach that dealt directly with Matt Ryan.
Right.
Then he was also the OC who fixed Jared Goff.
Fixed.
Well, you saw what Jared Goff.
Yeah, fair enough.
You saw what Jared Goff was as a rookie. So
yeah, Jeff Fisher did Jeff Fisher things.
There you go. He did ruin him. But Matt LaFleur came in and fixed him. And now he's in Tennessee. So if he gets Mariota over the hump this year, and let's say the Rams offense kind of digresses a little bit, if it regresses a little bit, teams are going to be knocking down LaFleur's door. Now, obviously, you know, there is some cachet with being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, again, that's my number five. Just starting it off, somebody that I think should definitely warrant consideration. Who do you have, Pat?
Okay, so we're going to take a trip down memory lane, shall we? Okay. Join me, will you? I'm going to go with North Turner here.
Ooh.
For my number five.
Okay.
Cowboys fans, let's say, that are of a certain well-aged distinction, know what good old North can do. Or has done and seemingly continues to do, as his relevance has really never been questioned or taken a true dip over the course of his time in the NFL, which has been a lengthy career. So he's respected for obvious reasons. He knows how to get the job done. He's a former offensive coordinator of the Cowboys for some of the younger listeners who weren't either around or alive long enough to witness the dynasty years of the early to mid-90s. North Turner was the offensive coordinator for that team, for that Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith-led team, Michael Irvin, so forth and so on. Now, the last time he held a head coaching role was with the Chargers, who were then in San Diego back in 2012. And although he just accepted the OC role with the Panthers, he might be itching to get the head seat at the table once again. Now, if he was to land that chair, who better than a team and an owner that he's exceedingly familiar with, obviously the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. And the Cowboys are the only NFL team that Turner has coached for, and he's coached for several. Cowboys are the only team that have given him the opportunity to actually obtain a Lombardi trophy. And as we know, he has more than one, both of them have the Cowboys etched into them. Now, the only downside for Turner is he's not that new guard that's very attractive, and I agree with you on that point. He is 66 years old. However, he's not old enough yet to kind of be shooed away. So he's not in the Bill Parcells age range. He's not in the Rob Marinelli age range. And Turner was integral in helping Teddy Bridgewater, when he was healthy, kind of hit that NFL stride, and you started to see Teddy Bridgewater really come into his own before he got injured. And then, of course, you know, you look at how things ended unceremoniously between North Turner and the Minnesota Vikings. But for me, number five, I think North Turner would be a very, very solid upgrade if the Cowboys look to move on from Jason Garrett. That's my five.
Man, has anybody ever had four different head coaching jobs in the NFL before? I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. Like, I mean, we know Bill Parcells did Patriots, Jets, Cowboys, Giants. So that's, you know, started in the 80s. So technically he'd be in that realm. But I'm not comparing North Turner to Bill Parcells. I don't know if I can deal with somebody that has been passed around that often.
I think I could, or I should say I know that I could, simply because he has the pedigree. And yes, I don't know if I would use the phrase passed around because, again, if you look at what happened between him and the Vikings, just as a recent example, it's not like he was more or less, you know, kicked out the door by the Vikings because he wasn't performing. There was something or a lot of things going on behind the scenes there as far as chemistry in that front office. So I don't think that his actual skill set was a reason that he is no longer with the Vikings. And I think that if you reunited him with someone like Jerry Jones, who they know each other well, obviously, he can come right into – he has – the better way to put it is – or another way to put it is he has the voice that can command a team. So he's definitely a voice that can come in. You're not wondering if he'll get the players to buy in fully. He can and has continually gotten players to buy in. Now, did he get front offices to buy in at each stint? No, that's why he's not with the Vikings, for example. However, when he did get teams to buy in, his offenses did very well. And they already have Chris Richard on the team. And I personally believe that he's going to be the successor to Rob Marinelli as early as 2019. So now you have your defensive coach, your elite defensive coach. And if you bring in someone like North Turner as the head coach, that's going to help evolve the offense into probably one of the more dangerous ones in the league. And I just think it'd be a great fit all around. I think it'd be a great fit.
I mean, I can give you credit for a number five. Like, that's worthy of being a number five. But it just doesn't have the cachet for me.
Notice he's not number one now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't want to beat it up too much. But I'm still going to take a sledgehammer to it.
You got to do what you got to do.
I got to do what I got to do. If Jerry Jones came out on January 12th, 2019, and announced that North Turner is the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
Wouldn't be.
Why would you
be disappointed? Would you be disappointed because you feel like there were better options? Because at the time, you'd have to extrapolate for what options may or may not have been available at the time of hiring. So
that's kind of my thing. I obviously think that there are at least five better options than North Turner because he's not
clearly
on my
list. That's why we're here today.
Right, exactly. So, and you clearly think that there's four other options and
there's four other ones, most definitely. So I'm not all in on North Turner. I'm simply saying that if it's an intriguing enough signing to warrant me giving it my initial approval. Now, I would have a question mark here or there. Like, I mean, like you said, I'm not going to disagree with you that I see a little bit of concern that he's been with so many teams since he won rings for the Cowboys.
It's not just that. At no point do I feel that he would be providing us an updated offense that would really set the league on fire.
I disagree in that if you look at what he would be working with, this is the guy. Okay, so many comparisons. Correct me if I'm wrong, and you can't correct me because I'm not wrong here. So many people are comparing Dak Prescott to which Cowboys quarterback?
Right, Starbuck.
Former quarterback. Well, that's one. But more prevalent than all. Well, you did that on purpose.
Yeah,
more prevalent than all would be Troy Aikman. Okay, who took Troy Aikman to the heights or helped him ascend to the heights that he reached, which then led him to several rings and then ultimately a gold jacket. North Turner was the offensive coordinator who molded Troy Aikman from the young kid out of UCLA with a bunch of pressure on him because he was the first overall pick to one of and arguably the best quarterback in his career with the Cowboys. Now, translate that over to what Dak Prescott's skill set is. It's comparable right now going into his third year to what you're seeing from Dak, of Troy Aikman, Dak Prescott, that comparison. I think Norv Turner comes in and he looks at Dak Prescott and he's like, hey, I've seen this movie before. You know, I'm comfortable with this movie. I know how to make this into a blockbuster. And that is another reason I'm comfortable that if the Cowboys came out and said, hey, Norv Turner is our head coach, based on the fact that Dak Prescott is the quarterback and seeing what Norv Turner did for a Troy Aikman in his early years and them both having similar skill sets, because Troy wasn't going to shoot it out with anybody. Troy wasn't Romo. Troy wasn't Steilbach. You know what I mean? You know, for the most part, Troy wasn't even Danny White. Troy was an elite quarterback when asked to, when doing what he was asked to do. And I think that's where Dak Prescott comes in. If you ask him to maximize his skill set and you put him, put the system around him and give him a coach that actually knows what to do. Like I said, he did it with Teddy Bridgewater as far as helping him rapidly progress to a very good quarterback status in the NFL before he went down with injury.
Yeah, I just
think that he's going to do the same with Dak. That's my additional take on why the Norv Turner Dak Prescott marriage would be fruitful.
I'll give you that point on the Teddy Bridgewater Dak Prescott development, and I will give you that as far as starting quarterback in their first couple years. But by the time Norv Turner got to Dak Prescott, he'd have been through his 3 years just like Bridgewater would have been through his 3 years, just like Aikman would have been through his 3 years when he had Norv. I myself personally would rather take the guy that recently turned Matt Ryan into an MVP and resuscitated Jared Goff's career after just one down season.
I don't actually disagree with LaFleur. I honestly had him on this list, but he got nudged off by guess who?
Yeah, you, made the right choice. Let's move on to your number four.
So you say my number four, ladies and gentlemen, is a name that you know quite well. He is no stranger to football and to the big stage as well. This is Urban Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, current coach of Ohio State University. Now, my argument for Urban Meyer is quite simple.
He wins
a lot. You were wrong. How many? You can't get right. You're like the, you know, like I feel like I'm in Life right now, the movie, and I'm just talking about can't get right. He wins a lot, ladies and gentlemen, and that's to say the least. Now, ironically, Urban Meyer, he's neither the old nor the new guard of coaching on the whole. I mean, his 53 years of age puts him right in between some of the more seasoned coaches of the sport and that younger guard, the McVays and the LaFleurs that we're talking about. But he's also in the same generation as someone like Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Meyer would have, it'd be a hard sell to get Meyer, admittedly. I mean, a very hard sell, simply because all he knows is college football. That's all he knows. He's never once dipped his toe into the NFL pool. Now, the question being, is it because he is more comfortable in the NCAA, or is it because an offer hasn't come that's attracted him from the NFL level? What I think that if the Cowboys position becomes available, you look at the defense turning the corner, I believe in 2018, they're going to really hit that elite status. Obviously, you're going to have Dak here. You're going to have Ezekiel Elliott. You got the best, not even arguably, but the best offensive line in the league for years to come. It's a very attractive proposition. I think Urban Meyer takes that all into consideration. And then now I'll say what the secondary point is to make you feel a little bit better about being wrong early. aside from the fact that Meyer is 177 wins to only 31 losses overall, he's 11-3 in bowl games. So he knows how to win on the biggest stage of college football. He coaches one of the biggest programs, came from previously another huge program down in Florida. I mean, it's just a seductive hire. And of course, he coached Ezekiel Elliott and Noah Brown and Rod Smith. So don't doubt for a second that Elliott and, you know, arguably the best running back in football. I don't know who would argue it. I wouldn't, but I'll just throw it out there as a disclosure. But don't think for a second that Zeke won't sign off on this move, if not lobby for it, if he was given half the chance. Meyer's a big-time coach. Players love him, acclimate to him. He's proven he can win on the big stage, big conference, big schools, time and time again. And granted, it doesn't always translate apples to apples. I mean, we can ask Nick Saban about that. But I do think
– cheap shot.
Yeah, go Dawgs. I do believe that if it came out that Urban Meyer was the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I don't see how you could look at that hire and be anything other than excited. So, ladies and gentlemen, my number four potential upgrade over Jason Garrett in 2019, contingent upon what happens in 2018, would be Urban Meyer, head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That was a convincing argument. My problem with Urban Meyer would be that I think he's a dynamic top tier of all time recruiter. I don't know if he necessarily translates into a great professional coach, if you catch what I'm saying. Like I do, and
I'll let you continue before I piggyback off that, because him being such a great recruiter. Now imagine everything I said, but also taking to that point and combining him with a scouting mind like Will McClay. How does this signing not make you excited?
Because that still has nothing to do with what happens on the football field. Like he is great. We might assemble a whole lot of talent, but I don't see there's nothing about him that screams to me that he's going to be able to motivate multimillion dollar athletes. I don't like his stance on a lot of things. His wife is very outspoken about some things that I don't agree with as well. I don't know how he translates to the professional game dealing with multimillion dollar athletes. Well, that's my big problem there.
Heard me say that would be the only question mark. He's never dipped his toe into the NFL pool. So, admittedly, I do have a concern there. However, all things being considered, I think it's a signing that would be very, very intriguing. But is he perfect? No. That's why he's my number four.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not the guy that I would go get. Like I said, I think his talent comes from being able to shape and mold 17 to 20 year olds, and I don't think he would do well with multimillion dollar athletes
at all. But you don't have, and that's fair, although I would say we have no evidence to support if he can or cannot. We won't know until he gets the shot.
No, we just have a track record of collegiate coaches translating to the NFL, and the ones that do have a lot better personality that effuses from them than what Urban Meyer does. You look at Urban Meyer, you can tell what type of person he is, how stuffy and stodgy he is. The people that have success are the loosey goosey guys, the Pete Carrolls and the Jimmy Johnson, the guys that really get in your face and get rah rah and get people. You know, those are the type of collegiate coaches that can translate to the NFL because they're real with their players. He seems like he's a disciplinarian, and that's not going to – I think that would be a horrible matchup, man. At worst,
I feel like it work for, let's say, 3 years. I give him a three-year experiment because, to your point, I mean, and hell, to my point, I said it earlier, in this same argument for Urban Meyer, there's an argument against him that it doesn't always translate apples to apples. I mean, you got people like Saban, and then you look at Harbaugh now with Michigan. But before things went south with Harbaugh, who also is not so arguably a stuffy shirt kind of coach, now that we're talking about stuffy shirt coaches, if you agree there, he had success immediately with the San Francisco 49ers, and guess what kind of a skill set he had?
But we're not talking about him. We're talking about Urban Meyer. You can't make a case for Urban Meyer
I'm simply saying if we're expanding upon, you know, saying, okay, well, this type of
keep your argument focused to what Urban Meyer can do.
You didn't keep it focused.
I'm keeping it focused on Urban Meyer. I gave you examples of guys at work. So we're gonna move on. Your number four is deceased. I've already punted on that one.
You're scared of my number four. You don't like his wife.
Yeah, I'm really shaking. I'm really shaking. My number four for this argument, this dueling top fives of who, if Jason Garrett is relieved of his duties, who we would prefer to see take it up. I will go with my number four, with John DeFilippo. Now, John DeFilippo, again, he's on the young train, and Pat keeps trying to get these old fogies that are about to go for AARP and Social Security before it runs out. DeFilippo is only 40 years old, but he has an 18-year coaching resume. 18 years, bro. He's been coaching professionally since he was 22 years old. Now, who is John DeFilippo? He's currently the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, but most recently he was a quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. I know, grain of salt, it's the Eagles. But the person who gets the most credit for Carson Wentz's development over the first 2 years that had him at an MVP level before he got injured and tore up his ACL, that was John DeFilippo. The person who got journeyman, bag of bones, vagabond Nick Foles to the level that he played at through the NFL playoffs and what he did in that Super Bowl, that was John DeFilippo. And he was even the quarterback coach for Derek Carr's rookie season in Oakland. And remember what the big deal was about Derek Carr. Now he's fallen off of that. People don't project him as highly as they did. But remember what he looked like as a rookie? That was John DeFilippo. So this dude is an amazing, amazing quarterback whisperer. And that's not something that we would know in Dallas since we've been dealing with Wade Wilson all this time. And now we got Kellen Moore. Give him a job before everybody gets booted out so we can at least say he's a coach for 1 year.
That was not a promising hire. We'll see how it goes.
But John DeFilippo is a guy, that's my number four. I would love for him to take over this team. I think he can be very innovative. Obviously, look at who he's worked with in Philadelphia recently with Doug Peterson and all the creativity that they have in that offense. I think he could definitely bring that to the table. I'm looking forward to what he does in Minnesota now that he has Kirk Cousins out there, Dalvin Cook coming back, the receivers that they have, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. I think that Minnesota is going to blow the doors off of the NFC North this year, and this guy is going to get a lot of credit as a one-year OC and turn into a head coach candidate going into 2019. That's my guy, John DeFilippo. Number four.
Nice, nice, nice. And when I say nice, I actually mean yuck. I don't like that at all. I don't. I'm not feeling that. Here's why I'm not feeling it. Okay. We talked about North Turner, and one of the points you made, justifiably so, was that you were asking how many head coaches have had the opportunity four times in the past 30 years. Okay. But two picks later, you hit me with a guy who's pretty much been a journeyman, even as a quarterback's coach. So, okay, let's talk about this quarterback whisperer that you are so enthralled with. Look at the past. Let's look at his career since 2000, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to rattle off a couple things here, which completely cut Drummond's point off at the knees. If, in fact, DeFilippo was so great at quarterback coaching, he started off at Fordham, right, quarterback coach, okay? Let's fast forward to he was at Columbia 2003-2004. So that's, let's say, two seasons. Let's just say two seasons. 2005, he's in New York with the Giants. 2 years later, he's with the Oakland Raiders as the quarterback's coach. And then in 2009, after going on to the Raiders in 2007-2009, he's with the Jets. But then in 2010, he's with San Jose State. But then in 2012, he's back with the Raiders. But then 3 seasons later, he's with the Browns in 2015. And in 2015, your quarterback whisperer was a part of a team that went 3-13, and the offense was ranked 25th in the league, which is probably why he only lasted for one season as the offensive coordinator with the Browns before he landed with the Eagles. And yes, he did well by Carson Wentz. However, his resume up to this point is exceedingly unimpressive, if you ask me. So I think there's a hell of a lot more to be found out for him as not only just a quarterback's coach, but let's see what he can do actually as an offensive coordinator. I don't see how you're willing to take a guy like this who's been, you know, bounced all over the league and between the NFL and collegiate ball as a quarterback's coach, seemingly at least every 1 to 3 years. He's only been an offensive coordinator once before, if I'm not mistaken, which would have been with San Jose State. Never been an offensive coordinator with an NFL team until this year, which hasn't occurred yet, the new job he has with the Minnesota Vikings. Why would you not want to see what he can actually do as a coordinator before you go lay the crown on his head and say, you know what, I'm going to task you with being the head honcho of the most seen, noticed, valuable team in all of sports, with a young quarterback, a young running back, a young defense? I just don't see it. So not only does his resume not impress me, not only do I not know what he can do at the offensive coordinator level, which is a step obviously above the quarterback coach position, but your entire point didn't even address what he can do for the defense, what he brings to the defense. Yeah, we got Chris
Because he's an offensive coach. See, no.
But he's not. I let you ramble long enough.
Look, stop.
He's a quarterback's coach. He's a quarterback coach.
Stop. I let you ramble long enough. You've been rambling.
Hold on. You didn't describe him as a genius-minded offensive guy. You described him as, quote-unquote, the quarterback whisperer. So then why does he have to whisper to different quarterbacks for different teams so often, so frequently?
You're making a garbage argument. You know this. So I don't even know why you're rambling this long. A position coach. Hold on. A position coach, sir. A position coach goes along with the hirings of the head coach. So if a head coach gets fired, the quarterback coach normally doesn't stay on. That's not really something that happens in the NFL. So trying to blame him for moving around between jobs when head coaches are being fired makes absolutely no sense.
Now, I'm simply raising the question. So you mean to tell me every single time he changed teams and every time he changed from collegiate ball to the NFL and back to the collegiate ranks and then back to the NFL, that every single time was because his head coach was fired? No, that's not accurate whatsoever, sir.
Dude, seriously? Let's go through. First of all, you complained about him at Cleveland. Do you know who his quarterback was to start the year? His offensive coordinator?
Hold on.
No, but you mentioned it.
Okay,
sure. Do you know who his quarterback was the year that he was in Cleveland?
Start of the year.
Johnny Manziel.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who he got to go to after Johnny Manziel? Mm-hmm. Josh McCown. But you're going to put only been in Cleveland for 1 year when they keep rotating the coaching staff in Cleveland? Come on, man, you're reaching. Talking about the state of Cleveland. He was in Oakland until they fired the coach. Let's talk about the last 6 years. He was in Oakland until they fired the coach. He went to Cleveland and they fired the coach. He moved to Philadelphia and got Carson.
No, they didn't fire the coach.
They won a Super Bowl. I know we hate to admit that shit, but they ended up winning the Super Bowl with this guy and the magic that he did.
That's my point. Won a Super Bowl with him and then said, you know what, good riddance, right?
They didn't fire him. He left. What are you talking about? You're not even making any sense, bro. He left from being quarterback coach to go be the offensive coordinator. He got a promotion to go to a new team.
I'll give you that one. That one I was just being... Come on, man.
I'm
just being cheeky on that one.
Yeah, but I understand. My number four, that final point,
I was being cheeky. But everything else stands. He's been around, and although some of the attrition has been due to head coach firings and horrible GM decisions, like you mentioned with Cleveland, and I concede to all of that because I'm a fact-based person, as you are. However, what I'm simply saying is there's no way you can completely look at the totality of everything and simply not ask yourself, is this guy ready to lead the Dallas Cowboys in 2019 if it came to that? I do not see it. You don't even know what he can do as an offensive coordinator. Give the couple years from now, he proves himself as an offensive coordinator. I'm probably with you on that if you know that's a successful stint for him in Minnesota. But as of right now, June of 2018, hell no. Who's your number four or three?
That was just ridiculous. I've never seen such idiocy in an argument before. All right. Number three. Now, I told you earlier that I don't have a preference offense or defense. You know, everybody thinks that offensive coordinators, and my first two have been OCs or people on the offensive side of the ball, everybody thinks that's the way to get to the playoffs, have a new innovated offense and everything like that. But I did a little bit of research, and there's absolutely no preference over which side of the ball the coach comes from. Over the last 3 years, out of the teams that made the playoffs, and remember, there's six in each conference, so 12 every year, 36 in total over the last 3 years, 19 head coaches have come from an offensive background against 17 for the defense. It actually makes no difference over the last 3 years who's getting the playoffs. And actually, defensive-minded coaches tend to be more consistent as far as constantly making the playoffs. When you look through the participants from 2016, 17, and 18, Belichick was a defensive guy, Tomlin was a defensive guy, Carroll is a defensive guy, Zimmer a defensive guy. These are the people that are regularly in the playoffs and competing over the last several years. On offense, really the only ones that you have are Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy out of Green Bay, who's made it 2 out of 3 times. Reid is the only offensive-minded coach that's made it 3 times. Gary Kubiak in Houston has made it a couple times, or once. Yeah, because they They didn't make the playoffs last year. So, yeah, just once. So, yes, to me, it's 50-50 on whether you're going to go offensive defense. And for number three, I went defense. I'm staying in the NFC East, or at least relatively in the NFC East, even though DeFilippo is now in Minnesota. James Betcher, the new defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. Now, you know, I'm a little bit ageism, whatever you want to call it. He's only 40 years old, has a 13-year coaching resume.
Yeah, I'm sensing a feed here.
Yeah, I got you covered. But, yeah, he's only 40. Arizona has finished third, fourth, and third in the last three seasons in defensive DVOA. And you know how I love DVOA. It stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average. It's Football Outsiders' proprietary metric, and basically it says, okay, don't worry about what volume stats say. How good was the opponent they were playing? How did they do based on the game situation, down and distance, score, time on the clock? All of those kind of things go into how well a team actually functions when the game's closed, when the game's out of reach, all those garbage time yards and stats and all that kind of stuff. They throw all that kind of stuff out. They weigh the stuff that's important more heavily. Arizona has been dynamic over the last several seasons. They've even been top six in traditional metrics. So I'm looking for him, the former coordinator, the former defensive coordinator in Arizona, to now do that magic with the Giants and bring them back to what they were before they fell all the way off under Ben McAdoo and his ridiculous coaching staff. Now, Betcher employs both 30 and 40 fronts. He doesn't just stick to one or the other. And honestly, now with the way that everybody plays nickel as a primary base defense, it really doesn't matter. But his configurations of how he lines people up on passing downs, on running down, it's a very intriguing thing. You've seen what they've done with some of the talent that they have out there, specifically with Chandler Jones recently and Calais Campbell in the past before he went on to Jacksonville. But for me, this dude is everything that you want in a defensive mind, and he seems to also have the head coaching prowess when he talks to his troops. He has that command of a huddle, or not a huddle because he's not in the huddle, but he has a command of the sideline when it comes to his defensive guys that I think would translate well into being a head coach. I'm staying off the radar for the most part with my guys, but James Betcher, the Cowboys are going to learn about him early in the season in week two, and then again later in the year. I think he is going to have that Giants defense humming, and he will be a head coach candidate by the end of the year.
You know what? I like it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I like it. Much unlike, you know, that whole debacle you had it for. I like this because, see, my main point prior to Betcher was, you know, you got to show me what you can do at, you know, aside from just being a positional coach, right? So, to your point, he's been defensive coordinator with the Arizona Cardinals. He moved up from outside linebackers coach, so he's paid his dues as a positional coach. He's paid his dues as defensive coordinator, and the Cardinals, you know, in his stint between 2015 and 2017, they emerged as one of the better defensive teams in the league. Like you mentioned, look at he got Calais Campbell paid big money. Now over in Jacksonville, obviously, but I like it. I like it. You know, so I don't really have an issue with Betcher whatsoever, but like you said, we're about to find out, or I should say the Cowboys are about to find out exactly up close and personal what he can do, because they're going to see him at least twice over the next year or more, depending on how things go with him, the Giants. So I actually don't disagree with you here. I'll give you credit on that one.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that kind of support, knowing that you couldn't really knock the other two. You felt it strong. It safe not to knock this one.
I'll agree when it sounds smart. But the problem is you don't have to sound smart. So here's my number three, ladies and gentlemen. And like KD is – he's sticking with youth, and that's fine. That's wonderful. But unbeknownst to him, I don't have only older guys in my list. I have people like, let's say, Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma.
Yeah, okay. That's nice. That's nice. Now, I can already tell. This is a very good matchup, Betcher versus Riley. I like it. Go.
Yeah, so Riley, first, let's talk about proximity. Okay, he's a native of Lubbock, Texas. That's just a few hours west of Dallas. He went to Texas Tech. That's just a few hours south of Dallas. And now he works just a few hours north of Dallas. I think he's circling the city like a bird of prey, kind of waiting for the for the time to strike. But long story extremely short, man, Lincoln Riley, look at what he's done for that program. He's one of the best, and this cannot be overstated, he is one of the best and most terrifying offensive minds in all of college football. My dogs found that out the hard way. They were able to escape with a win in the Rose Bowl, but man, if you look at what he did with Mayfield over the course of Mayfield's time in Oklahoma, look at what he did with that offense, just overall, it was a juggernaut, for lack of a better way to put
it. Yeah, it was.
And maybe some fresh blood is needed in this case, as far as the Cowboys are concerned. I mean, speaking to the angle of reaching down to pull up an NCAA guy, if you've noticed, now this is my second NCAA candidate that I put up there. And I just think it's time for some fresh blood. And I do agree with you as far as the new guard, because I like – and that's another reason I don't have a problem with Jason Garrett is because he's still young and he can acclimate and have those players kind of drawn to him. Look at someone like Chris Richard. He's young. He can get the players to be drawn to him. That's why I believe McVay is so successful. That's why I believe someone like Lincoln Riley can come up to the NFL ranks and be more successful. And this is why I have him at number three. I'm hard-pressed to see or believe that combining Lincoln Riley with what the Cowboys have currently on their roster is anything short of a magnificent idea. The only reason I have him at my three is because I worry about his defensive prowess. However, we have Richard in tow, so I think that kind of solves the issue on that side of the ball. And I think offensively, if you look at the Cowboys having sputtered several times, now some of it was due to injury to Tyron Smith, yes, granted, but in that injury to Tyron Smith, what you saw was a failure to adjust. And then prior to the injury to Tyron Smith, what you saw was a failed experiment to put Chaz Green at the left guard position. I don't think those are mistakes that you're going to see with someone like Lincoln Riley. He knows how to rally the troops. And even more poignant than that is he knows the X's and O's. He knows how to manipulate the game in a positive way. He knows how to outcoach the guy on the opposite sideline. He's young. He's fun. Players love him. I think that if Lincoln Riley is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you look at an energetic offense like Dak Prescott. He's an energetic guy. You look at Zeke Elliott. Obviously, he's a ball of energy when he's not being accused of something that he didn't do. But I just think that he would take the offense to that next level, that one that would be even better than the 2016 outing. And I think that combined with, like I said earlier, the defense of the Cowboys taking that turn in 2018, I think this team would be just nasty, absolutely nasty under Lincoln Riley. So, ladies and gentlemen, Lincoln Riley, head coach of the University of Oklahoma, that is my number three pick for a potential upgrade to Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problems with that. I'm sitting here listening to your speech, and I'm like, it's everything. I'm actually upset at myself that I forgot to think about Lincoln Riley, because I've actually had that thought before. Somebody had mentioned him being a head coaching candidate, and they were like, just look at how diverse the Oklahoma offense is. I forgot who it was on Twitter, but they showed a play where they handed off to the fullback, and the fullback ran a read option. And it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in a college football game, and that's what this guy does on a regular basis. I would love for him to be in charge of the Dallas Cowboys offense. With Dak at quarterback? Are you kidding me?
There you go. See, every once in a while you come to your senses.
No. I would completely be on board with the Lincoln Riley hire, and I still have the same concerns as you. What did he do with the defense? Has he been a head coach that long in order to now be in control of a NFL team? Those are real concerns, but screw it. I just want to see what his offense would look like in the
absolutely.
NFL.
And so, I think Richard will take care of the defense. You just put this offense in Lincoln Riley's hands and watch what happens. That's where I am.
I would love to see it. Yeah, you get a pass on that one. You get no argument from me. Go to your number two.
My number two, ladies and gentlemen, you know this name well. He has been in the NFL for an exceedingly long stretch of time. He is and has been one of the best coaches at several levels, as far as from positional coach to coordinator and now head coach. I am talking about Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Now, is it going to be easy to pull Sean Payton away from New Orleans? Absolutely not. That being said, this isn't a list about who's going to be an easy
signing. It's about who do I want to see head coach the Dallas Cowboys. So my number two is going to be Sean Payton. And Sean Payton, obviously, you know, he was with the Cowboys from 2003, 2005. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about him and the Saints. But he's a key reason players like, 2003, 2005. I got my stats mixed up. But he's a key reason players like Tony Romo and Jason Witten found their way to the Cowboys, with Romo, of course, being a huge love of Sean Payton. I mean, Payton was absolutely all over Romo. You're talking about quarterback whispers, sir. Are we talking about quarterback whispers? Then you're talking about the godfather in the NFL of QB whispers right now. That is Sean Payton. Now imagine what he could do for this young, talented Cowboys roster. Imagine what he could do for a player like Dak Prescott. You see now, obviously, and this should be a surprise to no one. Dak Prescott is not Drew Brees. Okay, let's just put that out there right now. However, Dak Prescott can be a very, very good quarterback in this league, especially if he has the tools around him. Look at what Sean Payton is doing right now in New Orleans. Now that even before they had a running game via Ingram and you know, Kamara, right? They still are tearing up the league. They were 31st on offense before Sean Payton became head coach. 31st on offense. Since then, KD, they've only been out of the top 10 offensively twice in the last 13 seasons. In those 13 seasons, they were in the top 5 9 times. And of those 9 times being in the top 5, they were twice at number 2 and twice at number 1. And that was before Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Right? Sean Payton, if given half a chance to be peeled away from New Orleans, if you want a Super Bowl in Dallas and you want it ASAP and you don't want the concerns, or you're shying away from the concerns of, you know, will this collegiate coach do well at the NFL level, or, you know, this will be his fourth or fifth stint as a head coach, et cetera, et cetera. All of that's out the window when we're talking about Sean Payton. If you have half a chance to go get him, you saddle up the troops and you go and you get him out of New Orleans, and you can hear the dude, Sean Payton with the Cowboys. That, sir, is at least 2 Super Bowl rings over the next 5 seasons. At least. Sean Payton's my number 2, gentlemen. I'm getting excited. If I give me a chance at Sean Payton, I just want to know, what do you eat for dinner? Let's just, you know what I mean? Whatever want, Sean.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing about Sean Payton. I agree with you. I think that a fresh Sean Payton would be a miracle worker for the Cowboys offense. I think he has one of the best NFL minds, and I don't really see anything that can stop a Sean Payton-led offense. If the Cowboys fire Jason Garrett, that means they miss the playoffs. You trading the top 15 pick for Sean Payton?
You're asking me if I would?
Yeah, I'm asking if you would, because that's what it's going to cost in order to bring Sean Payton to Dallas. It's going to cost your first-round pick.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oof.
I absolutely would.
Oof.
Because I'm playing the long game, and then the long game isn't even that long a game if you get somebody like Sean Payton on the current roster. So basically what I feel like you're asking me, and obviously in your mind this is not what you're asking me, but let me tell you how I'm hearing it, how I'm interpreting it. You're asking me if I would trade a first round pick for a Super Bowl win in 2019. Hell yeah. You wouldn't?
I would trade it for a Super Bowl win in 2019, but Sean Payton doesn't automatically win Super Bowls. He's won one. He's been great, but he's coached for a lot longer than the 1 year that he won a Super Bowl. So I'm not going to equate him to being an automatic win in a Super Bowl. He should get you back to the playoffs. He should help improve your offense. But look at the Saints defense until this last season. Their defense has been atrocious under Sean Payton. So you're sitting here talking about all these other guys and what they're going to do for the defense. It wasn't until his 12th season in New Orleans that he got a decent defense, man.
Right, okay. But you do realize, and I'm sure you realize, that defensive coordinators' lives matter, right?
Oh, well, wait. So for my guys that are offensive guys, you're worried about what happens on the defense. But for Sean Payton, who has a track record of not having good defense, it's not a problem.
You, Oh, don't try to spin it, because you can rewind this back after it's done, and you can hear that I've agreed with you on those points, and I've even made my own concerns about my own guys as far as, like, you talk about somebody like Lincoln Riley, and I said a biggest question mark is what can he do defensively, but then I said, hey, you got Chris Richard here. So that same logic applies if you bring in someone like Sean Payton. Chris Richard is not Rob Ryan. He's just not.
Yeah.
Right? So. Okay. That should solve your, or I should say, that should smooth your feathers as it relates to your questions over what can he do for the Cowboys defense. Rashard has the defense.
Okay.
You bring in Sean Payton for the offense, and there you go.
Okay. I'm going to allow Sean Payton with a little bit of a what's the word that I'm looking for? A little bit of an objection. I just wanted to be noted on the record that there's a little bit of objection, but I'm going to let him pass.
Thank you.
I'm going to go on to my number two, but I'm going to ask you this question first. In all of these scenarios that you're talking about the offensive guys, you keep talking about how they'll have Chris Richard on the defense. Most of the time when you hire a new head coach, except for when Jerry Jones hired Wade Phillips after he hired Jason Garrett, you don't really get to go to the team as the old coordinator staying in your same position. So I'm just going to go ahead and make Chris Richard my head coach for my number two.
I thought you said you had a question.
I did have a question, but I just hijacked it. I looked at I looked at the clock and I saw how long we're running. So I just went ahead and introduced who my number two is. My number two is Chris Richard, and I'm going to tell you why. Prior to the 2017 season, he was already being talked about as a future head coaching candidate. You know what happened in 2017? He lost Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Cliff Averill, and for a couple games he lost what's the guy's name? Oh yeah, Earl Thomas. They brought in Sheldon Richardson. Sheldon Richardson did jack as a free agent to shake up what they were trying to do on the defensive line. And all of that led them to being one game out of the playoffs. I don't see any reason why Chris Richard got fired, much less not considered for a head coaching job. But obviously, once you get fired as a defense coordinator, people aren't going to turn around and give you a head coaching job. You're going to have to reinvent yourself. And I have no doubt that's what's about to happen with the Dallas Cowboys this year with Chris Richard running the defense. When you look at the videos of this dude, the way he held court on the field that very first interview in front of all those reporters, and the way he just oozed that enthusiasm and that leadership, and you just knew that people are going to fall in line for this dude. And when you read about what happened in Seattle, how he put together all of the personalities, not just the guys that are currently in the Legion of Boom, but some very strong personalities that were there once he took over the role, he's been able to get everybody to fall in line. And I have no doubt that he'd be able to do that on a head coach level for the offense and the defense. Now, I did a recent article on Chris Richard over at CowboysWire.com, shameless plug. Make sure that you're going there every day, all day. Here are his defensive passing his defensive passing ranks in DVOA, and then his overall ranks. They were second in 2012. They ranked second in defensive DVOA. 2013, first. 2014, first. 2015, fourth. 2016, fifth. Then they dropped to 13th on 2017. They lost all of that star power, and they were still better than more than half of the league on defense. This dude can coach defense. I have no questions about it. And as I said, when I watch the videos of what he does, he is a motivator of men. He's just 38 years old. He has 10 years on his coaching resume. You know I'm very big on getting experience even out of the young guys. And to me, what Chris Richard is, he's like a Mike Tomlin. I think he would be the type of coach that would be able to stay in your organization for 15, 20 years and consistently get you to 10, 11, 12, 13 wins on the season. He is that type of guy for me. I would be ecstatic if we woke up one morning in January and Jerry Jones said, hey, we hired the staff, but Chris Richard, he impressed me so much, we're going to make him the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm doing cartwheels.
Well. I don't know how to, you know, frame this any other way than the way I'm about to frame it. Mm-hmm. But you pretty much just made my entire argument, because, ladies and gentlemen, my number one is Chris Richard.
That's
my number one.
Wait a minute.
Now, I will say this. I have no clue on God. I am now interested to hear
who Chris Rashad, I mean, who you have as number one. I'm just going to go ahead and put my number one out there because you just made the entire argument for me. Now,
well, then,
we'll double back to mine. I'll tell you why he's my number one. But I just really, really couldn't contain myself hearing you explain so vehemently, so passionately why Chris Richard should be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, as I sit here laughing to myself, knowing the whole time that all you were doing, unbeknownst to yourself, was making my case. So now that I know you have absolutely no ground to stand on to undercut my number one, I will offer my argument in support of your argument that supports my argument when we talk about my number one. However, let's just say I agree, but I don't agree that you have him at number two. So ladies and gentlemen, please, let's all tune in. Put your ear next to the speaker because we need to hear who is KD Drummond's number one potential head coach for the Dallas Cowboys that is more, or I should say, a more potent acquisition than Chris Richard.
This is hilarious because I had to cut you off earlier in this show because you tried to spoil my number one. So I'm very ecstatic again that I've stolen the thunder from your number one and I gave all the great arguments. So no matter what you say when you come on the clock, it's a rehash of everything that I've brought up. I've already made the great argument. So I own the rights. I own the rights to Chris Richard as head coach.
I understand that you're trying to, you know, spin it as a win for you, but really it'd be like us going to court and you making the argument for
me. You're not understanding because I actually do have somebody that would be a much better choice, and it's somebody that you
and I'm dying
almost
I'm dying
thought about
to hear it.
My number one guy, it's time for Jim Harbaugh to come back to the NFL.
Stop.
Jim Harbaugh is no question about it. He is the number one candidate.
That's why I came for him earlier when I brought him.
Exactly. I'm like, this dude is about to get my whole fucking scenario.
That's why you came him earlier, because I was about to slice him in half without even knowing that he was one of you. You have him at number one.
Number one. I understand that you can't think outside of the box. Do you not remember what Jim Harbaugh was in San Francisco?
To cut him in half. But please, you have the floor. I need to hear this.
When Jim Harbaugh came to the NFL out of Stanford, after being a great coach at Stanford and proving all that he needed to there and setting up that program as being a powerhouse, which it continues to be now under another guy that should definitely be considered in the NFL right now. And, of course, I'm plugging this guy, and I can't even remember the damn last name. David, what is his damn last name? Head coach of Stanford, he should be in the NFL too. You know who I'm talking about. He always does the draft shows. So back to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh took a team when he joined San Francisco. He took a team that hadn't had a winning season in 11 years and went 13-3. He went to the Super Bowl in his second year with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick as his quarterbacks. Now, he can obviously devise a workable offense to exploit everything that Dak Prescott brings to the table because Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick are similar athletic prototypes for what Dak Prescott can bring, except Dak Prescott can actually take a hit compared to what Colin Kaepernick could, being more slender. Everything that he can do as far as highlighting strengths and hiding limitations of the quarterback, we saw him do that to get San Francisco where they needed to go. And they would have won that Super Bowl if it wasn't for that crazy power outage and everything else that happened when he was playing against his brother in the Harbaugh Bowl. Trust me, Jim Harbaugh is an elite NFL coach. The only reason he's not in the NFL right now is because he had a run-in with his upper management. He did not get along with his general manager. And the general manager won the power struggle with that screwed up ownership that they had in San Francisco. And they ended up firing the coach or letting Harbaugh walk, keeping the GM for a year before they got rid of him as well. That experience, I always like retread coaches for one reason. They've learned from what they had the first time around. So I have a firm belief that Jim Harbaugh learned about how to deal with upper management that can be a little bit too hands-on.
Right, sure.
A little bit too much into your business, and he will be much better for it in the scenario of what he would be with the Cowboys especially if they kept Will McClay as the personnel director. I think Will McClay would get him all of the guys. I'm not worried about him not being able to win the big game at Ohio State. College is just a different animal. I'm not worried about that, what he's doing in Michigan right now. He's still winning majority of his games. He's still getting top recruiting classes, and I already know that he's a Super Bowl caliber head coach. There's nobody else on either one of our lists that we can say is a Super Bowl caliber head coach that has enough years left in the tank. He's only in his mid-50s or early 50s, has enough left in the tank that he could still steward this team for the next 8 to 10 years, and that's really all I want out of my next head coach. Give me 8 to 10 solid years of Super Bowl competition, and I'm good. I want to win a couple of those in there, and Jim Harbaugh has already shown that he's capable of leading a team with not the best quarterback play, because when Alex Smith was in San Francisco, nobody would have accused him of being a top quarterback. Nobody really ever accused of Colin Kaepernick of being one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So we know that Jim Harbaugh doesn't need that elite quarterback in order to have success in this league. We know that he can turn a team around, so you can't say it was anything but him when they went from a losing season to 13-3 and then maintained it and went to a Super Bowl next year. He's done everything that he needs to do to pad the resume. The only reason we have a bad taste in our mouths about what Jim Harbaugh did was because he had a beef with a general manager that wasn't worth a damn. So you can go ahead and try to chew this up if you want to, but your facts, what you claim to be facts, are going to be wrong as hell.
I spent half the time laughing because I can't get over the fact that you think that Harbaugh will be a better coaching pick in 2019 or as early as 2019 than Chris Richard. I have three letters that describe my whole rebuttal for your, you know, soliloquy on Harbaugh. Caps lock, if you will. F. O H. There is no way. You sat here and you told me that you have a concern about Urban Meyer because he's a stuffed shirt in how he carries himself. Harbaugh is not an NFL player's coach.
Wrong.
It did not take long. But once he lost the front office, and I'll give you that. He didn't jive well with the front office. Okay, well, that's kind of a big deal considering that Jerry Jones needs someone that's amicable to Jerry Jones. Harbaugh and Jerry Jones are not going to jive for any extended period of time. Let's not even pretend they will. Now, that's not to say that I support that Jason Garrett is a puppet stance, because I absolutely do not. That stance is absolute crap. But what I will say is Jason Garrett has already been evolved under Jerry Jones. Jason Garrett has been groomed, for lack of a better way to put it, into the role he's in now. And that's what makes people think he's more amicable to Jones. But Harbaugh is the antithesis of being amicable. If he doesn't like the direction that the front office is taking in any way, shape, or form, he's going to be exceedingly vocal about it. Now, that may be good, bad, or indifferent, but if you're talking about chemistry between him and Jerry Jones, there will be none. There will be none. And then that will trickle down into the locker room, which will then trickle onto the field, and then you're going to see losses happen. Now, I was actually going to give Harbaugh props in the realm of supporting Urban Meyer before you cut me off, because you were afraid I was going to cut Harbaugh in half or at least undermine your point.
I just didn't want you stealing my thunder.
Which is fine. So, and in that aspect, like I said, I don't have a problem with Urban Meyer being what you call a stuffed shirt. I think that players still very much like Urban Meyer. And to that point, I don't think the stuffed shirt thing, it bothers me that much when it comes to John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh. What does bother me about Harbaugh is, again, I don't see how he gels with Jerry Jones in that front office. Absolutely not. So maybe he learned his lesson. Maybe he didn't. However, you're talking about a guy who's now uber comfortable at Michigan, who has free reign. He's basically a god on that campus. He's now going to return to the NFL that he feels slighted by and go into an organization where he has a fraction of the power that he had at Michigan or even within the San Francisco 49ers organization before things went horribly left. Yep. That, sir, would be if I woke up one morning and found out that Harbaugh was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I'd probably go cover Major League Baseball. I'm done. I can't. I will not.
I can't. So, based on your takes, you covering Major League Baseball would sound about the same as what you're covering the NFL.
Don't predictable. See, that was just a predictable. You're better than that. You're better.
Yeah, so are you. So are you, because what you're arguing is complete garbage right now. You haven't combated
you honestly
any.
You think Harbaugh is better than Richard going forward? Stop. No way, no how. You've made some solid arguments on this list, but your number one, I would scoff at as your number five.
Bruh, you brought up Norv Turner. Ho, Let's stop for a second. You brought up Norv Turner. So that automatically disqualifies anything else because you thought that Norv Turner deserves another shot in the NFL. So your opinion on everything coaching related is invalid.
What do you mean?
Look, I will give you no, another shot as a head coach in the NFL. Another shot as a head coach. Head coach. We're discussing head coaches. My number one went to a Super Bowl as a head coach. My number one went to a Super Bowl as a head coach.
How many seasons thereafter was he booted? And I mean 2 feet on both cheeks, booted out of the NFL. So yes, I do see how he could come in. Let's have a serious conversation.
If you aren't the type of analyst that is going to take mitigating circumstances into effect, he didn't get booted out of the NFL. He lost control of his team because there was a power struggle over multiple years with his general manager and the CEO. There was a struggle there. That's what lost the team. He didn't just all of a sudden forget the coach. Yeah, because like I said, I believe that based on my concept of what happens with recycling coaches, that after they've gone through whatever went wrong the first time, that smart people, and he is a very intelligent person, intelligent people learn how to manage whatever the situation was that put them in a bad spot. And I think he would be much better the second time around dealing with people that would be in his business the way that we know Jerry Jones would. I think it would be a match made in heaven because they would win. Off top, they would win.
My brother from another mother. You know, one of the biggest adversaries of intelligence and intellect? Ego. Do you disagree?
No, that's very true.
Okay, Harbaugh has one. Now, you're hoping that he's been able to taper his ego enough to the point where he's willing to leave his throne at the University of Michigan to see if he can tolerate or if he has learned how to reel that ego in and let his intellect.
I don't look at it that way. I'm not looking at it that way. His ego would be the reason that he would do it.
But this is my stance, though, right? Of course, you don't look at it that way. That's why we're arguing it. Right? But my stance is simply that his ego is present and alive, and Michigan is a conducive scenario for him because they bow. They bow to his every whim, so to speak.
But they don't. They don't because he can't beat Ohio State. And it's wearing thin.
Okay, well, yeah, it's wearing thin, but it's
So he might be ready to go.
Well, offered him a lifetime contract 1 year ago. I mean, at least the rumors were that they were willing to do so. If he starts winning against Ohio State, which obviously if you coach Ohio State, you got to beat Michigan or you're fired. You coach Michigan, you got to beat Ohio State or you're fired. So I get that. But I don't see that he has the willingness. Now, if he ends up getting booted from Michigan, well, yeah, that's a humbling enough experience wherein maybe he looks in the mirror and he says, you know what? I should probably put my ego in check. And, you know, I hear Jerry Jones isn't the easiest guy to deal with, but that roster looks good. I got the intellect to make it work. So it's worth a shot. But I don't think anything outside of a humbling situation like him, like his relationship with Michigan ending unceremoniously, is going to that kind of an introspective mind frame. So as it stands, because I don't see him being fired by Michigan in 2019, and it's because he still has that stature. It's thinny, but it's not thin, and it's not quite where you're going to have rumors about him being fired just yet. So you're asking him to walk away from that and
try the Cowboys job, you're damn
to get
right.
along with Jerry Jones?
For the Cowboys job,
his standpoint,
correct.
If I was Harbaugh, from his standpoint, if I'm Harbaugh, as it stands, my answer answer is no. If I'm Jerry Jones, from his stance, my answer is no. I hear what you're saying, but I can't make that make sense. That's why my number one, Harbaugh wouldn't even be on my list of top 15.
Hold up. I completely understand why you can't make it make sense because you're you. I completely understand why you can't make it make sense. But for those of us who know how to think outside the box, for those of us who know how to color within the lines but think outside the box, it's a perfect fit. Now go on and tell me why the guy that I just proclaimed as being the second best fit in all of eternity is your number one, and tell the people something that they don't know about me.
I don't even really have to. I understand you're trying to pull the B rabbit on me, but it's not going to work here because you've already made my point. So it's not a battle. You've already made my point. Everything you said about Chris Richard is absolutely true. Is absolutely true. It's self-explanatory why he would be the right choice for the job. You've seen what he's done in Seattle. You made that point. Completely accurate. You see what he did in melding the egos like Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, to a lesser degree, Bobby Wagner. Look at Cliff Avery, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. He formed one of the best and most historic defenses in NFL history. So you made that point, and you are absolutely correct. He's young. You made that point. He's correct. He's energetic. I had a one-on-one conversation with Byron Jones a couple days ago at his youth football camp, and he put out there, I asked him straight up, I said, hey, what's the one biggest difference that you feel within the team and on the practice field with Richard in tow? And he said, hey, man, he's young. He's energetic. He has cleats on. He's out there running drills with us. And he challenges the players to beat him to certain spots. So if he beats you to a spot, there is a problem. That's the kind of coach that players love being with. He gets his hands dirty. I completely agree with you on every single thing you said about why Richard should be the head coach, the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, whether it be 2019 or as soon as logistically and logically possible. So that's why he's my number one, for everything you said and everything I said and the points that we mirrored in between. So then to sit back and say that you know this, and you still put Harbaugh first? No, sir. Yep. If I wake up one morning and I find out that Chris Richard is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you can find me behind the bar doing cartwheels with Cotton Eye Joe blaring on the speakers.
All right.
Where did you come from?
That brings our debate to an end, ladies and gentlemen. This has been another exciting, exhilarating episode of Catch This Fade. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond, with my co-host, Patrick Walker. Find us on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL, at Voice of the Star, and weigh in on who you think had the better top five. That guy who actually named Norv Turner? Norv Turner. Norv Turner?
Or the guy who put Harbaugh as his number one.
This dude wants Urban Meyer in the NFL. So you know what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Chime in. Do what you do. Give us all of your insight right there on Twitter. Of course, subscribe to us on iTunes if you're listening to us on either one of our sites, either CowboysWire.com or Dallas 24 Sports. 24/7 Sports. Make sure that you go to iTunes and subscribe. That is the best way to show your allegiance and your appreciation for what we do. And of course, we appreciate what you do tuning in every week.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. As always, it's been a blast taking another W over KD.
You wish.
And find us on Twitter. Find us.
We only have a W without a second V.
Oh, no, it's a full W. Dude, you want Harbaugh. That's like eating a rotten biscuit and then complaining about food poisoning 3 days later. Stop that. At Voice of the Star is me. At KD Drummond NFL is him. Cowboys Wire is him. And 24/7 Sports Dallas Cowboys is myself, as well as downloading the CBS Sports app would be a very wise thing for you to do. Like he said, subscribe. Don't get caught behind the loop. Catch This Fade is the best, new, hottest, most touted podcast out here, and you don't want to find out way too late that you missed the bus.
You know what it is. Salute.
That was 10 years ago.
Yep.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. This thing of ours, oh, this thing of ours. A fraternity of drug dealers ringing off. I just happen to be alumni. Too legit, they still looking at me with one eye. The company I keep is not corporate enough. Child rebel soldier, you ain't orphan enough. A rapper turned trapper can morph into us, but a trapper turned rapper can morph into Puff. Dance contest for the smokers. I predict snow, Al Roker. If you know, you know. I only ever looked up to Sosa. You all get a bird, nigga, Oprah. Bricklayers in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart. We got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, them trapdoors supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know. You ever been hit with the water weight, then had to wait? Do you walk away? If you know, you know. When we all clicking like Golden State, and you and your team are the motorcade. If you know, you know. Been granting wishes like a genie.